Breakups suck. We all know it. Not long ago, I broke up with my ex of nearly 10 years. It was over long before then, but I have a hard time ending things. She's a sensitive person, and whenever the subject of ending it came up over the years, well, let's just say that she would go into shutdown mode. I realized prolonging the relationship was making it worse, but I didn't understand that at the time. I also want to mention, to protect everyone's privacy, that I won't be using names or locations in the story. I'm still close with the family, and they've already dealt with enough in their life, and I don't want to bring more stress in there. When I finally ended it for good, it went about as well as you can imagine. She took it horribly, and it was a few rough weeks of fighting, crying, and even some threats. But eventually, the split was final. She moved in with her aunt, who lived about an hour away, I think, but I'm not exactly sure. Since I stayed in the house, I ended up giving her a lot of the furniture, which was fine with me. I make decent enough money that I could afford new couches and whatnot. I planned on going to one of the big chains to get all of my new furniture, but in the short term, I needed something in my house to sit on since I was watching TV in a lawn chair. I looked on Marketplace to see if I could find anyone who was just trying to get rid of some furniture. What I found was this super ugly yellow love seat. I know that sounds disgusting, but I have this weird fascination with the color yellow, so I was all about it. But the most exciting thing to me was that the woman was selling it for $40, and it looked like it had never been sat on before. I messaged the woman and set up a time to come see the love seat. She lived about 40 minutes away, but I didn't mind the drive. I drove out to the small house that sat in a sort of semi-secluded area. I knocked on the door, and an elderly woman answered. I told her that I was there for the love seat, and she looked scared. She screamed that she didn't know who I was or what I was talking about, and she slammed the door in my face. I went back to my car and checked the address in my messages. This was clearly the address, so I messaged her and told her that I was there, but a woman closed the door on me. This woman responded several minutes later and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, that's my grandmother. I live in the garage out back. Just walk out back and come on in." I was a little annoyed, but I wanted that love seat, so I made my way to the garage that was in the backyard, as she said. I knocked on the door, and a sort of muffled voice responded saying, "Come in." So I walked in, looked around, but I didn't see a love seat, and in fact, the inside was just a normal garage. I shouted hello, but I didn't hear an answer. And just as I was about to leave from an adjacent room, a small person seemed to charge me. This figure had enough of a surprise start on me that she was able to jump on me, knocking me off my feet. She was wearing something on her head, and it was dark in the garage, so I wasn't able to see her face. She was yelling and screaming, and finally whatever it was came off. And I saw. It was my ex-girlfriend. I'm not even joking. I was so flabbergasted, and I was able to push her off, and instead of running, I just got up and started yelling at her. Her tone changed instantly from erratic to crying her eyes out. I went over to try and console her, even though I was furious and very, very confused. She was uncontrollably crying. I was trying to calm her down, and that's when it happened. She pulled out like some box cutter or something like that, and just cut my shoulder. In that moment, I screamed, wincing in pain, and ripped the small blade out of my shoulder and just threw it to the ground. I started to howl, and in the 10 years of knowing this woman, I'd never seen her act or sound like this. She grabbed the blade off the ground and started to slash the air in front of me. I think she was trying to make contact with me, but in between all of her sobs, she was just thankfully unsuccessful. I was able to get to my feet, running to my vehicle screaming, and I called the police right away and informed them of what had happened. They showed up pretty quickly, and thank God she was arrested. Getting attacked was horrifying, but watching someone I care about be taken away by the police was incredibly traumatic. The woman I watched get put in the back of the police car was not the same woman I used to love. I still can't believe her plan actually worked. There was no guarantee that I would ever check Marketplace for furniture, but I did. She knew I would be attracted to this ugly yellow couch if I did, and she was right. She told me that she was moving in with her aunt, which was true. Her aunt lived several houses down from that poor elderly woman who had to deal with the fallout of all this nonsense. And the last thing I knew was that she was being moved somewhere to get treatment. I decided not to press criminal charges, and I'm even helping with some of her medical bills. Sometimes it's the people closest to us that can cause us the most harm. I don't know what clicked off in her brain that made attacking me seem like some sort of solution. I feel terrible for her, and I truly hope that she gets all the help that she needs. For anonymity, I'm going to leave out some details from my story that I'm sharing with all of you. All my wife wanted for her 31st birthday was to go on her favorite country artist's summer tour. The average ticket price for even mediocre seats seemed to be over $200, which was surprising to me. I didn't go to many concerts, but I thought it would be cheaper than that. Anyway, I got lucky, and the tour was coming pretty close to our hometown, and I knew that it would be the perfect gift. The tickets were going to be on sale on a Tuesday, and since I was working, I was going to get online and grab them after work. Well, again, my ignorance of the concert scene came into play, and the show sold out almost immediately, and I saw that there was absolutely nothing available when I got home from work. I was texting with one of my buddies, and he told me that I could look on the secondary market for seats, but I would probably have to pay an upcharge. I was excited that there was still a chance, though. I began scrolling through the main sites, StubHub, Vivid Seats, and all those others. After limited success, I switched gears and began looking at Craigslist and Facebook groups and markets to see if I could find anything from a local seller. I sent a few messages out but hadn't really received responses, and the ones that did respond were increasing the price after every message, it seemed like. As the days and weeks rolled on, though, I was getting ready to give up, until I found someone selling two tickets for what seemed to be a reasonable price. Their name was Victor, and he had the tickets listed on Facebook Marketplace. I messaged him in a hurry, praying that they were still available. I didn't receive a response in the next half hour or so, and I assumed that they were most likely spoken for. I decided to get some sleep and just went to bed, pretty disappointed. However, when I got up for work the next morning, I had a message from that Victor. He sent the message at around 4 a.m. and said that the tickets were still available. I was ecstatic and asked when I could grab them or meet to pick them up. He replied and said that he had a few other inquiries, so I would need to send the payment via PayPal, and then we could schedule a time to meet up. He was okay with using PayPal goods and services, so I knew my money would be protected if he was trying to scam me. I quickly sent the payment, and he confirmed that it was received. He said that he could send the tickets virtually or provide the physical copy of the tickets if that was preferred. And since it was a gift, I asked if he could meet up for the physical copies, and he said he had no problem with that. We made a plan to meet at a local grocery store at about 8 p.m. so I could get the tickets. I showed up a little early and parked in the back left of the lot as we agreed to. About 50 minutes later, an old Marin Oldsmobile pulled up and sat a few spaces away from my car. I wasn't sure if it was Victor or not, so I just waited. After about 5 minutes, the door to the other car opened, and I asked, "Hey, are you Victor?" And they responded, "Yes." "Hi, thank you. I appreciate you buying these for me. Here are your tickets." Now, we small-talked for about a minute or so, and I thanked him and said that they were for my wife's birthday, and we both went our separate ways. I wrapped them up in a box for my wife and gave them to her for her birthday, and she was so excited that we would be going to the concert just a few short weeks later. We get to the concert, and everything was amazing. The seats have a really great view, we've already grabbed some drinks, and we're having a fantastic time. About 15 minutes into one of the opening acts, someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, great to see you." And I kid you not, it was Victor. I was like, "Oh, hey, what's going on?" And he responds, "Sorry I'm a little late, the traffic was crazy." Victor reached across me and put his hand out to introduce himself to my wife and said, "I'm really glad you can make it." My wife, who was polite enough, didn't say anything to me immediately, but after saying hello and introducing herself, she pulled me aside and asked who that was. I told her it was the guy that I bought the tickets from. I didn't know that he was going to be there. I thought he was just selling the tickets. Now listen, Victor seemed like a really nice guy. and I had no problem sitting next to him for the entire show while my wife took the aisle seat, but some of his comments throughout the night were pretty confusing. He was making it seem like we had all made this plan to go together, and that we were a group of friends just hanging out. I was polite and tried to answer him every time he said something, but there was definitely a few times that I just tuned it out and enjoyed the show and made sure my wife was having a good time. Anytime he would say, "I'm really glad we got together," or something weird like that, I would just give him a half smile and sort of nod. Clearly, there was something wrong with this Victor guy. My wife was having a blast, though, and that's what was important to me. As the concert grew to a close, Victor leaned over to both of us and said, "What's next? What do we got planned for the rest of the night?" My wife looked at me confused, and I said, "Hey, I appreciate you selling us the tickets, but we're gonna head home. Have a great night, all right?" I got up and grabbed my jacket as my wife did the same. We started to walk up the aisle, and I felt something grab my arm. It was Victor. And before he could say anything, I said, "Hey, what's wrong with you? I don't even know you, man. Why don't you just leave us alone, all right?" At that moment, I was pretty angry, and after a night of appeasing a complete stranger's notions, I think my patience had grown a little thin. But as we left, I felt bad and regretted having yelled at him. It was pretty late, and my wife and I decided to grab some food on the way home and eat it on the couch before bed. The next few weeks went on as normal. My wife and I were both busy with work and had a ton of things to do around the house with any free time that we had. I remember going to bed really early one night and trying to read to fall asleep when I got a Facebook alert on my phone. It was a message from Victor saying, "Hey, I had a nice time at the concert with you and your wife. I'm sorry if I overstepped, but I'd like to take a chance to, you know, get to know you both better." I deleted that message and I blocked his account instantly. I was now creeped out. I didn't really use social media all that much, and this was why. Weird people on the internet. I'm gonna be honest. The message creeped me out, and it was on my mind a lot over the following days. But eventually, as all things do, it began fading slowly from my mind. About 6 or 7 weeks after the concert, my wife and I were sitting on the couch, messing with our phones, and our dog started going absolutely crazy as there was a loud pounding on the door. Outside of a few immediate family members, we never have anyone over as our Akita is old and not the best at meeting new people. I told my wife to stay where she was, and I would go through the garage to see who it was. As I opened the garage and went towards the front door, my heart sank. I saw that it was the weirdo from Facebook Marketplace, Victor. And I was at a loss for words. But I think I finally muttered out something like, "What the hell are you doing here?" He said something along the lines of, I know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have showed up unannounced, but I have tickets for next week. The show, you know, and I thought you and your wife might want to go." He had a huge and uncomfortable looking smile on his face. I asked him how the hell he knew where I lived, and he said he got it from the PayPal transaction. I told him that if he ever came to my house or my family again, I'd call the cops and let him meet my 200-pound dogs that he could hear going crazy inside the house. His smile turned to a frown, and he said, "We'll see," and walked away. I took a few moments outside to collect myself and went back inside. My wife asked me who that was, and I told her it was just UPS and that I got another package. For the next few nights, and even weeks, I felt like something was off. I noticed the motion lights going on more frequently. I felt like I heard scratching or creaking outside of doors and windows, but I chalked it all up to the idea that I was just hypersensitive and hyperfocused on some psycho showing up in my house. Thankfully, we hadn't had any additional incidents or run-ins with Victor, but I know that I will never buy anything from Facebook ever again.
Last year, I put my pool table on Facebook Marketplace. I had it in my basement, and it wasn't in the greatest of shape. Plus, I never really used it. It was taking up a lot of space, and I knew I needed to get rid of it. I listed it on Facebook Marketplace for a price that was pretty high. I wasn't in a huge hurry to sell it, but I wanted to get a good price for it. It wasn't a crazy high price, but you could probably find a nicer pool table for a little less if you tried. After listing it, the pool table received no interest. I wasn't surprised, and after a few weeks went by, I got the first message about it. It was a guy named Jim, and he told me right away that he wanted to buy the pool table. We messaged back and forth for a little while, and then made an appointment for Jim to come by and purchase the pool table. I really hadn't expected to sell it for this price, and figured that Jim would try to negotiate when he got to my house. I had a set price in my head that I was willing to go down to. Jim came over at about 6 p.m. on a weeknight after work. When he got to my house, I let him in, and then showed him down to the basement where the pool table was. He looked at it for a few minutes, and then agreed to buy it. I watched him take out all the cash of the full listing price and then give it to me. I was shocked, but more than happy to accept it. I told Jim that it was his now, and I would help him load it into his truck. Luckily, he had a pretty big pickup truck, and it would just fit. It was a bit of a pain to move the coffee table into his truck, but we got it done. He then left, and I felt really good about the price that I had gotten. I truly didn't think that I would be able to sell the table for that much. After this, almost 2 weeks went by. Then, I got a message from Jim. He told me that he felt that he had gotten ripped off, and he could have gotten a better deal. Now, this was over a week later, so I wasn't going to take the table back. I told him it's been over a week, and a deal is a deal. This obviously didn't make Jim very happy. He argued with me for a while, telling me to give him some money back, but I refused. I didn't have to give him anything, and he should have tried to negotiate or looked around for a better deal if he really wanted one. I felt that this wasn't my responsibility to help him out. We ended up leaving the conversation on not a very good note, but I felt that it was over. A few days went by, and Jim didn't reply to me at all. Then, things got strange. My girlfriend was over at my house one night for dinner, and at one point, she got up from the table and told me that she saw some guy standing in the front yard. I got up, and we both walked over near the window. When we got there, I didn't see anybody, but I did notice a white truck parked out on the street. I realized that it was Jim's truck. I remembered it from when I helped him load the pool table in it. I told my girlfriend the story of how he was mad about the price. We looked all around the house through the windows, but we couldn't find Jim. We were going from window to window, and when I finally returned to the front of the house, I opened the front door. As I did, I saw the truck starting up and drive away. I decided to message Jim and tell him that I knew he was at my house, but when I went online to do so, he had blocked me. Two nights later, he was prowling around outside again. This time, I was by myself and in the living room watching TV. I noticed out of the corner of my eye a man walking past the front window. About a minute later, I heard my front doorknob turn, but thankfully, it was locked. I didn't waste any time and I called the police. However, Jim left pretty soon after I did, and he was long gone before the police got there. I told them the whole situation and asked what they could do. After that, I felt confident that the police would be able to look into it and I wouldn't have any problems from Jim again. But the very next morning, as I left my house to go to work, I was walking to my car. Right as I was about 5 feet from my driver's door, I heard somebody sprinting behind me. I looked around to see Jim running at me with full force. I chose to run back into my house instead of going for my car door. This gave me a slight amount of distance on Jim, and I somehow made it inside right before he got to the door. This time, he was really mad. He tried opening my front door and then went to the window when it was locked, and he started banging on my window. I called the police again, who arrived in a very fast time when Jim was still there. He was caught and luckily didn't do any damage to my house. This experience caused me to stop using Facebook Marketplace for the time being. I know there are many good people who use it, but I would recommend anybody to not give out your address and be careful. I'm somebody who enjoys going to thrift stores and occasionally pawn shops. I love saving money and finding good deals. I buy a lot of used items, and I've probably saved lots of money over the years. I occasionally like to browse Facebook Marketplace for good deals on stuff. There usually is. Most of the things I don't want or need, so I don't buy. But every now and then, I find a deal that's too good to pass up. This story takes place about 6 months ago. Up until that point, I had probably purchased about 3 or 4 things on Facebook Marketplace. All of the experiences had been good to that point. As I was scrolling through the items for sale one day, I came across an iPhone. It was unlocked, meaning it could work with any service provider. All you needed was the SIM card. This was 2 generations newer than mine, and it was a very reasonable price. I kinda needed a new phone, plus there were no noticeable problems to it, and it said to be in like-new condition. It was a new listing as well, so I was excited. I tried to jump on it fast. I reached out to the seller, who responded back to me rather quickly. He was a man and was not all that far away. I tried to make arrangements to buy the phone as soon as possible and said whenever he was free would work for me as well. We agreed to meet the next day at a nearby Target store. This was the biggest and most popular store in the area, and it was also close to us both. The next day, I drove to Target with the money, and I was excited to buy my new phone. I knew that I was getting a really good deal. I arrived about 10 minutes before the meeting and went inside Target. After walking around for a while, the time came. I sent a message letting the seller know that I was inside the Target. I was looking around, but I couldn't find him. After about 10 more minutes went by, he finally texted me back. He apologized and said that something had come up and he couldn't make it that night. I was disappointed, but I told him okay, maybe tomorrow. I decided to leave Target then and not get anything. After going back to my car and driving away, I was followed for several miles by a blue four-door sedan. Of course, I suspected maybe it was the same guy who was selling me the phone, and this was some kind of setup. Maybe I'm paranoid, but when buying things on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, those kind of things always pop into my head. I couldn't tell who was driving the car behind me, but it did look to be a male. I didn't want him following me all the way home, and I decided to pull over on the side of the road. It was a standard and somewhat busy road, and at first, the car behind me started to pull over as well, but when I came to a full stop, he then pulled back onto the road and sped past me. I tried to look inside the car when he passed by, but I didn't get a very good look at all. After the car passed me by, I waited and watched it go out of sight. Then, I got back onto the road and drove the rest of the way back home to my house. After getting back and going inside, it wasn't long before I glanced out the window and happened to see the same car. It was going extremely slow down the road. I ducked down so he wouldn't see me. The car passed by my house and then went out of sight. About a minute later, I saw it driving back from the other direction. It didn't stop at my house or anything, but it was driving really slow. I just hoped that guy didn't know where I lived. After that, I decided to block the seller on Facebook. I had no interest in buying the phone anymore. To this day, I don't know for sure if that was the same person who was following me home or driving down my street. I do think it was the seller from Facebook, though. I also don't think he knows my exact address, but he somehow figured out the street that I live on. Either way, nothing strange happened, and I'm glad to say everything's been fine since. Last year, I was selling an old coffee table on Facebook Marketplace. I was only asking $40 for it, and it was in good shape, but it was nothing too special. It was kind of old, so I figured it was a reasonable price. It took a while to receive any kind of interest. After a couple of weeks, though, I did get one person who asked about it. It was a guy named Spike. He asked me if I was willing to do $30 for the table. I said sure. I was happy to get anything for it, and if it didn't sell, I would probably just give it to Goodwill. He asked when would be a good time for him to come over and pick it up. And I told him the next night between 5 and 7 p.m. would be fine if it worked for him. He agreed to the time, and I gave him my address. I was happy to finally get rid of the old table. The next day, I moved my table to right inside my front door so it would be easy for Spike to just grab it and go after paying me. When 5 o'clock came, I hadn't received any kind of messages from Spike, so I assumed that he would be there any time. However, as time went by, it was soon 7 o'clock, and Spike didn't show up. I decided to go on Facebook and message Spike to see if he was still coming. When I got onto Facebook, though, I saw that Spike had blocked me. This was really confusing. Our conversations had gone great, and I didn't understand why he would do that. Still, I guess he just wouldn't buy my coffee table, and I put it back. I kept the listing up in hopes that maybe somebody else would buy it, but things remained quiet. Fast forward to about a week later. It was a normal weeknight, and I was in my living room. I was just about to get ready for bed, and it was probably like 10 or 11 at night. That's when I heard my back door rattling. I live alone, and I wasn't expecting anybody. Plus, I rarely use the back door. Immediately, I had a bad feeling. I started walking over to my kitchen area, which is in the back of the house and is where the back door is. I was maybe halfway there when I heard the sound of glass breaking. It was also coming from that same area. That's when I froze right where I was, and I turned around and dashed for the hallway. I ran for my bedroom, which had a locking door. I got inside and locked myself in. Meanwhile, in my house, I heard some noises in the kitchen. I knew that somebody had broken in, and my first response once inside my room was to call the police. I tried to be as quiet as I could when doing so. As I was speaking with the 911 operator, I was also hearing footsteps inside. I moved all the way into my closet. I was told that the police would be there as soon as they could. Once I was off the phone with the police, I stopped hearing noises throughout the house. I was in there, being as quiet as I could, and hoping that I did not hear any more noises. Eventually, the police arrived and made their way inside. It wasn't until I was sure it was safe that I left my closet and bedroom. Whoever had been in my house, though, was gone. The police couldn't find them anywhere. I did, however, see the broken window and the damage that it caused. The area was searched, but police never found anybody. That really creeps me out to this day. I really think that it was Spike who broke in. I had just given him my address the week prior, and why would he block me so randomly? I gave the information to the police, but I never got any word if they found him or if it was in fact Spike who broke into my house.
About 4 months ago, we moved into a new house out in the country. Since we previously lived in an apartment, that means that we needed to buy a new lawnmower. Instead of putting out $200 on a brand new lawnmower when we'd probably just have to move again in a couple of years, we decided instead to hire someone to cut our grass for us. We initially went with a guy that my fiance used to work with, but $65 every 2 weeks, well, starts to add up, and I was really looking for something cheaper. That brings me to Charles. Charles had posted in my Facebook classified that he was looking for some lawns that he could cut this weekend, and he had a reputable company, or so I thought. So I decided to send him a message on Facebook. Now, initially, Charles came off as pretty nice to me. He asked me for my address so that he could stop by and give me an estimate. After stopping by my house, he sent me a message that said,
"Damn, sweetheart, you got a big-ass porch."
It made me kind of uncomfortable, but I figured I was just overreacting, and I started planning when he could come out. I told him the days that I was off from work, but he assured me that I didn't have to be there when he would do the work. I told him the best time would probably be on a Wednesday. Wednesday morning, he messaged me.
"Are you home?"
I said no. 3 hours later.
"Are you home yet?"
I told him no yet again and that I won't be home until after 8. Charles then informed me that his tire had a flat and he would come tomorrow instead. Let's cut to Thursday, and first thing in the morning, he sends me a message.
"Will you be home today?"
I told him no. He messages me back a few hours later, once again, asking if I'm home. I told him, "No, I told you I wouldn't be home all day. Are you still coming out?" Then he tells me his truck broke down. He was sending me messages like,
"Please don't be upset with me, sweetheart."
At this point, I was getting really creeped out and pretty sick of his excuses, but I told him to just come tomorrow. It's now Friday, and it's actually my day off, but I woke up and I left the house for the day. He messages me,
"Hey, I'm coming. You're off today, right?"
I told him yes, but that I wouldn't be home.
"When will you be home then?"
I told him I didn't know, and he messages me later saying,
"Sorry, babe. I was loading the equipment onto my truck, and it then fell and broke. Maybe I can come tomorrow."
At this point, I was really creeped out, and I just told him never mind and that I was gonna find someone else at this point. It's now Saturday, and I get off work around 4 or 5, and I check my phone, and I find multiple messages from him saying that he cut my grass and that I need to come home and give him the money. I told him no, and that I would just send it through Cash App. He started getting really irate with me and saying that I needed to give him the money right now. I told him that I would give him the money once I got home and actually saw that the grass was cut for myself. I'm not gonna lie, I was honestly really worried that he was gonna be waiting at my house for me, so I decided to get a friend of mine to drive home right behind me. Luckily, he wasn't there. I sent him the money and I thought that was the end of it. Fast forward 2 months later. I'm on the phone with my fiance as I drive to class, and he tells me that he has to get off the phone because there's somebody walking down our driveway. I asked him what he meant, and he said that there was some strange man walking around in our driveway as well as our front yard. After I got to class, he sent me a text telling me that it was some man who was just trying to promote his lawn business. Now, I didn't really think too much about this as it had been 2 months. But later that night, I then got home and I saw a business card that was laying on my counter, and it had the same exact name of the very same man who had been messaging me previously. I decided to call my fiancé at work, and I asked how the guy had been acting. He said that Charles seemed genuinely surprised that a man had come out, and he asked if he lived alone. I then asked Mike if Charles had stopped at any of the other houses in the neighborhood, and then he replied with, "You know, now that I think about it, no. After he left our house, he just left." Mike said that Charles seemed really desperate to help around the house, and he actually offered to cut the lawn, fix our porch, as well as remove any trash or scrap metal we had around the house. And then he even asked if we had pests, such as bats in our attic or anything. That especially really freaked me out, as we do have a bat problem, and I had previously posted about it on Facebook, so I'm guessing that's where he figured that out. Mike then said that what was really weird about Charles is how freaked out he was acting about the dog. He had heard our dog Max barking from inside and then started asking a lot of questions like,
"Is he big? Does he stay inside or outside? Does he ever go outside or does he just always stay inside? How big is he? Is he nice?"
Mike just chalked it up to him being scared of dogs. He gave him a brief tour of the outside of our house, and then Charles got in his truck and then left. That's when I told Mike that this was the same guy who had been messaging me earlier in the year, and then Mike began to really freak out. He said that Charles had asked a lot of really specific questions about who all lived here and how long they lived here, as well as where they specifically were at the time. He said that he tried to brush them off, but Charles seemed really insistent to know if Mike was the only one in the house. Before he left though, Mike specifically asked him if he had cut the lawn here before, and that maybe he was thinking of the last owners, but Charles just told him,
"No, I've never cut your grass before. I just happened to be out this way and thought I'd promote my business."
The worst part? On that day, I had taken my fiance's car to work that day, which means that mine was in the driveway when Charles stopped by, meaning that he thought I was home alone when he stopped by. I didn't contact the police because I thought that I just might be overreacting about it. This all happened about 2 days ago, but hopefully I don't hear from him again. If I do, however, I'll definitely give an update.